Praise God. So this morning I want to talk to you guys about transformation, right? So that's an exciting thing because God's in the transformation business. So, our God created the world by his Spirit and by the Word of God. So in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters and God spoke his Word. So with transformation, there's an action of God with his Word and by his Spirit, and he creates us anew. Amen? Every morning, every day, every moment, and when we need him so much. So we're talking about transformation. So if we can move to the next slide, that'd be fantastic. So this is one of my favourite scriptures, and I guess it imparts to us the faith that God can transform us, because sometimes we feel like, you know, you can feel like, oh, I haven't actually changed much, or you can be a bit just despondent about what's going on in your life, and you sort of wonder, you know, have I changed sometimes? You know, we go through those seasons in life. But God is changing us from glory to glory. He's changing us from strength to strength. We're going from faith to faith, and from glory to glory this morning. So we're going to talk about that transformation process. So what I love about God is that he doesn't, like, stick a patch on us. So he doesn't say, this is a problem, I'm going to get this patch, we'll stick this patch, we'll sew it over the top. Anyone still do patches? Anyone still into those? So when I was a kid, I had Womble patches, if you remember the Wombles. I don't know if there's some people here. So I had the Womble patch, which was not my favourite thing, but so it's what we had to work with, so that was all good. So we'll read this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or your priestly act of worship, as another translation. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? So I love, in this, there's a contrast. So conformity and transformation. So all the world offers us is conformity. So what we hear in the news, what we have in our schools, what we have in our environment, sometimes our parents, what they pass on, sometimes people we associate with, that there's a sort of a pressure that comes around, which comes from a spiritual a climate, I guess, that influences our thinking. There's a pressure in there, right? So when we talk about conformity, we talk about a pressure. So there's a standard, and there's something that comes like a mould, basically. So when you have a mould, if you're making ice cubes, there's a mould. You can't go outside of that. That's what that pressure and that pattern creates. But with transformation, God starts from the inside out. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? So, we don't have to be inspecting each other, looking at the outside, but God's doing a work on the inside of you and of me, and eventually that'll come to fruition. And, so don't be discouraged, because God's in a process. So don't be discouraged if you don't see the results straight away, because there is a process. There's a seed time, there's a harvest time, but there's a watering time and that in between. So God's working through that process. And scriptures talk about first the head and then the rest of the plant. So sometimes it's just a little indication. And when you see that little indication of change, start thanking God, because the rest is on its way. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, that's our God. First step here is we present our bodies to God. So God's not interested in our part participation. He's not interested in church attendance. That's not the sum total of it. So don't not turn up next week. What I mean, merely church attendance. He's not interested in religious outward duties. He's looking for a heart. He's looking for a life committed on his altar. So that's where the transformation starts. So our priestly act of worship is to put ourselves on the altar and to say, God, you can have all of me. Amen? You can have all of me. Whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'm your man. I'm your woman. Let's go, Lord. Just do what you want to do. And God will take that. God will take that and begin transformation. But he doesn't want a half-hearted commitment, right? So that's not where change is at. And God will deal with us about things because we're not perfect. We don't do that perfectly. But just like when you've got a child, they've got a heart that's perfect towards the parent. So, for example, if you ask Shiloh to clean up her room, she would probably put her toys away. But if you ask an older child to clean their room, they'll know that they have to wipe down the bench, they have to put stuff away, they have to vacuum, and there's more to it than that, right? So we don't do it things perfectly, but God accepts our heart attitude of laying our life down as perfect, and God will work with that. Amen? Yeah, so praise God. Next slide. So our attitudes and thoughts determine our direction. Yeah. Amazing, right? So although we've been born again of the Spirit of God, we've been regenerated, our minds need to change. The way we think needs to align with God. And that's a process. And there's a spiritual element to it. And it's not just the power of positive thinking. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we're just going to read Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Say futility of mind.
Futility of mind.
Futility of mind. So futile, empty is another word. Pointless is another one. So futile means you're not going anywhere, you're not achieving anything of significant value, right? What a horrible way to live your life.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be like that, do we? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, wow, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness or the insensitivity of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or the attitude of your mind. Okay? So a lot of stuff's got to do with our attitude. Amen? So if you've got a wounded spirit, sometimes our thoughts and things can come out of that, right? So if you've got anger, that influences your thinking as well. It's not just like a cognitive process, is it? There's a lot more to it than that. Next slide. So our attitudes and thoughts determine our direction. So how do we examine our thought life? How do we know we're thinking like God, or how do we move towards being like God in our thoughts? Okay, so Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, able to penetrate even to dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, or it's a discerner of the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So we can determine the things that are going on, whether they're aligned to God, by being in his word, spending time in it. So as you're reading your Bible is reading you. So there's an interaction, you know, and it's an amazing thing. So again, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Amen. So Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So if we want to walk with God, we've got to be agreed with what God thinks. We've got to have the same priorities that God has. We've got to think the same things that God thinks. And that's quite an adjustment sometimes, isn't it? So we've been brought up a certain way, we've been conditioned a certain way, but God wants to challenge that and to change our thinking. And that change will bring transformation in our lives. How do we build new thought patterns? Okay, so the next slide, or attain new thought patterns? Good question. Let's have a look at Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 11. So if you've got your Bible, I haven't put that up on the slide, but yeah, please open your Bible and read with me. So I love this chapter in Isaiah because God's just wanting us to come to him, right? So he's just saying, look, come. If you've got no money, if you've got nothing to offer, just come. Just come. You know, Jesus never says, go away. God's never holding you at arm's length. He's always just come. Bring your stuff. Bring whatever. Come to me. I want fellowship with you. I want to connect with you. You know, that's what God wants. That's what communion's about. That's what Jesus came to reconcile us with the Father. He wants fellowship. He wants relationship. So we're not coming to a mountain where it's like, don't touch. We're coming to a gathering of God's community that we're citizens of. So you're accepted. God's accepted you. Amen? Through the blood of Christ. Amen? So let's start with verse 6. So it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen? So seeking God in our lives has to be the first priority. Out of anything we seek, it's got to be God. We've got to put God first, his kingdom first. We've got to have a hunger. So we're seeking him in his word. We're seeking him in prayer. You know, putting God first, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, it's a great, great habit to, when you're praying, you know, you want to put God first. So the first thing that comes out of my mouth, you know, you make your decision, you make your mind up, I'm going to praise God. My first words, I'm going to give to God. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to spend time with God before I spend time with anybody else, before I give anything thoughts, before I give my word, my work, any thoughts. My first thought is, God, what do you want today? Fill me, Lord. I need you. I want to connect with you this morning because I'm nothing without you. But like through you, I can do all things to glorify you. So verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Wow. That's cool. That gives us a great indication, doesn't it? God's got such a bigger perspective than we have. So sometimes when we don't understand, we're struggling with what God's thinking. You know, God's got a much bigger perspective. He's got the perspective outside of time as well. So we can trust what God's doing and what he thinks. Because, you know, how many of us have thought something sounded really out there, and then down the track, years later, you said, oh man, the wisdom of God is amazing. You know, like, I can't believe the wisdom of God. I never thought it would turn out like that, but God did it. Verse 10 is a key. So it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but will accomplish that what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Yeah. So in this text that we've just read, so seeking the Lord precedes the outpouring of God's Spirit, precedes the outpouring of the Word. So seeking God, having an attitude towards God, and there's repentance too, isn't there? So there's the wicked man, his way. So there's a guy that's living wrong, and he's doing things the wrong way. Well, he needs to return to the to Lord because he's living wrong. But also the unrighteous man. So the unrighteous man has deviated from God's plan, has deviated from God's thoughts in some respect, and he has to return because if righteousness is a straight line, then any deviation from that is unrighteousness, right? So when we get our thoughts out of line with God, we can be we can be a barrier. We can actually be a hindrance to what God wants us to do. Yeah, so Peter, remember when Peter tried to stop Jesus going from the cross? He said, "No, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And he was talking about the cross. And what did the Lord say to him? "Get behind me, Satan, because you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." So his mind was full of a whole lot of different stuff, and it caused him to react in the right way. And it seemed like he was being compassionate, but it wasn't what God wanted, right? So we've got to align our minds and get into line with what God's thoughts are. So, amen? So having done that, God pours out his spirit. God pours out his word. So the rain comes down. So sometimes we have the refreshing of the presence of God, so that as a result of repenting, changing our thoughts. So repenting just means we change the way we're living. So we turn from going our own way to God's way. But also we change our minds. So there's an attitude change. There's a shift. Okay. So sometimes it's even like, I don't know about this, Lord, but I'm trusting in your word. I believe what your word says. I believe what you think. So please help me get faith. Help me to grow in that. Help me to believe that. Because we need that. We need God to do that. And the snow, so you ever heard something and you're like, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Is that the case? Well, the snow takes longer to melt, but it's still water. So sometimes we need to ruminate on stuff, and God will reveal that through the meditation on his word. God will reveal that and bring refreshing into your life. Amen? Okay, so next slide. Okay, so I'm going to truncate my next bit. But basically, there is a synergy between the exodus of the children of Israel to the promised land. So what God was teaching them. So there's a parallel with us as Christians. So we've got saved, but we're on a journey to having our minds renewed, becoming more like Christ. Yeah. And so as we experience that, as we go God's way, we're going to experience increasing liberty, right, and joy, and we're going to grow in God, and we're going to experience the good things God's got for us. But it's hard for people that have come out of a mindset to make a shift into what God's got for them. So in Egypt, they were slaves. They were used to being told when to get up, what to do, what to eat. Basically, everything was done for them, right? And they were basically motivated to do everything that they do. So they had to find self-motivation. They had to find the freedom. They had to find the way that God wants them to think. So they came from that environment. But God said, it's an 11-day journey, but these guys aren't ready. These guys aren't ready to work into the stuff because their mindset will be a hindrance. So when they get into that stuff, they're going to spoil what I want to bring in their life, what I want to produce in their life. They're going to run back. Every time they have a problem, they're going to run back. They're going to run back to Egypt. And we know that happened, right? So in their minds, they were like, man, they had some great onions. We've got some onions this morning out here. But and they were saying, oh, man, those onions, they were great in Egypt. Man, and those leeks, whoa, they were so good. And it's like, well, you were slaves, man. You've forgotten that you're a bunch of slaves, and they were whipping you and doing all sorts of stuff. But okay, that's fine. I'm sure the onions were good. But you know, when you're going through a hard time, it's very easy to kind of think, oh, the good old days. That was good. Oh, wasn't that great? And the devil will sort of whisper into your ear, oh, that was good. Remember that? You used to really like that. That was fun. Yeah. And but we've got to resist that. Amen. And just proceed on, because God's actually got beyond the victory to today is your future and your future victories. So God's wanting to build on that, and that victory is a stepping stone for your next level. So you're going to learn something in this season that you're going to need for the next season. Amen? So God's faithful, and he's not doing stuff for no reason. If you're going through it, he's trusting you, he's with you, he knows you can come through with his help. Amen? So if he doesn't whip you out of there, it's good. It's actually good for you. It's developing something in you. It's developing the character of Christ. Because Christ suffered, and God was teaching him obedience, right? Which is pretty amazing. That's what the scripture says. Incredible. So, one important thing for this journey is that we have a tight relationship with God, so that we're in regular fellowship and communion with Him. So we've got a prayer life, we've got a word life, right? So we're just spending time with Him, and we're making Him the priority. Because I love in this journey, in Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, He showed His ways to Moses, this is God, but His acts to the children of Israel. So there was a difference between Moses knew God, so he knew His ways. He knew what he liked, what he disliked, what he thought. But the children of Israel just saw things from a distance. They saw His acts, they saw His things. They were in close proximity, but they didn't understand God. They didn't know God. And we need to know God. We need to pursue the knowledge of God. And it's not a knowledge in your head. It's not a bunch of scriptures that you can rattle off, okay? So it's, thank you, Lord. Because we can all be like that. We can all, you know, like, but it's knowing God in our hearts. It's drawing close to God, and it's having a hunger for God. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just that raw hunger. It's just like, God, man, I just want to touch Your heart. I just want to feel Your presence. I just want to know Your love, you know? And, you, man, you never get tired of that, you know? That's just such an important connection, you know? I've lost sight of that, and that's why I'm passionate about that. Like, at some stages, you know, you can get it all in your head. And God doesn't want it there, but He wants a passion and a drive, and He wants to connect with us. And that's just so important. Yeah. So next slide. I know we need to cultivating a godly mindset is so important. Next slide. So prepare your minds for action, exercise self-control, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Amen? So the original translation talks about girding up the loins of your mind. You probably heard that. It's like old language, but it's kind of, in the Middle East, they have these flowing robes, and basically they have to hitch them up so that they're not flapping around when they need to run or they need to do in war or anything like that. So it's about getting your mind set on God. It's about being prepared. It's about being deliberate in your thoughts. Yeah, because the devil loves the playground of the mind that's sort of wandering. I'm sure none of you do that, but I find I need to be deliberate. Okay, lovely. Thank you. So that's just such an important thing. So gird up the loins of your mind, or be prepared. So you're prepared for action, you've reined in your thoughts, and you're ready to go. Next slide. Okay, so sometimes after we can develop a good mindset, but we need to disestablish wrong mindsets, okay? So wrong mindsets are what they call a stronghold. So there's a fortress, and God wants to disestablish that. He wants to deconstruct that, because what the translation talks about is a house of thoughts. So if you think about that, it's like overlapping thought upon thought. So there's structures in that need to be dismantled. That God didn't want you to have that pattern. So sometimes we get things passed down from our parents. They do our best for us, but you know there's things and mindsets that we inherit that are not godly, and so God needs to come along and dismantle those things. And praise God, He's given us weapons to dismantle these things, weapons that are powerful in God to the destroying of those strongholds. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Next slide. Okay, so actually we're going to read that that scripture. So I thought we'd better take it into the modern era. I hope they're not North Korea or something. So I just found them online. You can tell me afterwards if they are. I'm not sure. If you're into your arms and all that. They just look pretty beasty, so I thought I'll grab those. Okay. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we're not talking about those kind of weapons. We're not talking about physical weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ.
Yeah,
yeah, amen. So this can be, sometimes we look at it as an external thing, like we're focused on the external with that, like dismantling arguments and that, but it can be internal as well. It can be, for example, you feel like you can't come to God. So when you go to pray, you feel like there's a heaviness. God disapproves of you. You know, I've known people that struggle to pray, and every time they go to pray, they just feel so bad about themselves. They feel their sin is just so heavy that they feel like they can't even lift their heads up. They can't connect with God. But God wants to change that mindset. And when you get into praise and worship, sometimes God will start to change those mindsets. You know, God's breaking off mindsets now, I believe, as we're talking about the word. God's setting people free this morning. So the revelation of that and our understanding will help us. So when we go to prayer, for example, what I used to do is I just used to thank God. Thank God that he was there, that I could come to him. I could come to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find help. So God's into helping us. God actually wants you to connect with him. You know, he doesn't want you to be left on the outside. He doesn't want you to feel alienated. That is not our God. You know, we haven't come to a mountain that can't be touched. You know, that fearfulness, that disconnect, that God's up here, I'm down here. But we've come to a city. We've come to a fellowship. We've come to, I'm just trying to think of the words. We've come to God's holy mountain, the Mount Zion, where there's fellowship, where there's a festal gathering. So there's a party going on that you're welcomed into, that God wants you to come to him. We all need God. We all need to come to him. We all have sin. We all have shortcomings. We all need to go to God. And God knows that. And he's saying, yes, come, come. He's not saying, oh, man, you haven't been to me for ages. Here's a list of the stuff that that I've got against you. And, you know, let's start with that, please. He's just like, man, come in, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're welcomed in, and I'm going to help you through that. I'm not going to stand at a distance, I'm not going to accuse you. There is one that accuses you, and he's not God. He points the finger at you, but God wants reconciliation. He wants you to come to him. He says, come to me. In Isaiah 55, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So if you feel like there's too much, it's too hard, come to God. He's going to help you. Because the power that's at work within you, God's just doing something in you and is transforming you this morning in the name of Jesus. Yeah, so just be encouraged. Don't feel like that, because I know it's hard. I know that myself. I've felt like that. I've gone through some stuff, you know, like, and I'd love to talk to you guys about that, you know, like if you're having issues with that sort of stuff, because we've got to work through these things and it makes you stronger. So God wants to pour you out on other people. You know, it's not just about you. It's not about your life. It's about what God wants to do with you, man. When you've got a dynamic people on fire for God, connected to God, you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to produce what God wants you to produce. You're going to produce His power. You're going to produce that fire. You're going to bring the fire to your work. You're going to bring the fire to your family. You know, people, like I just felt this morning, there was such a emphasis, like God loves your families, man. He Noah's Ark, he's into that. He didn't say, Noah, you're the righteous man. Okay, you come to the boat. Just tell your family to go on holiday and I'll save you and that'll be it. But he was interested in the whole family, right? God's interested in families. So he loves your family and you're there to pray. So don't give up hope. Man, just recently, like I love the testimony Pastor Gina had this morning about her family, because I know with my family, I started to pray in a particular way, and I went and visited my sister, and her husband, who's never been a Christian, has started to pray for his kids, and he started to seek out gospel stuff, and looking at gospel on, you know, Netflix and different things. He doesn't want to ask people because he's kind of like feeling embarrassed, but you know, like I believe that's happening in your families as well. They're sort of like, well, just leave me alone until I sort of figure stuff out. So don't talk to me about Jesus, you know. Just at the moment, I just want to sort of just have a look and figure stuff out. Yeah, yeah. So just I encourage you. Your prayer makes a difference. Yeah, you know, God's interested in your whole family, you know, and yeah, just I just really encourage you. I love to see what God's doing in my sister, how he's bringing my family around, actually. So, yeah, he'll do the same for you, I know. So we disestablish these wrong mindsets. I'll just go through these things quickly. So prayer, praise, we've mentioned. So praise is so important. Man, if you can praise God with all your heart, you know, things are going to change. You know, like just even ugly praise, like really ugly praise, you know, like when you're shouting out and your voice starts to go, you know, that's the sort of praise I like to give. You know, like that's embarrassing. Like if anybody else was looking at you, you know, you'd feel like that. But I'm not embarrassed to praise God, just to give him my best and to just declare his praises and to tell him how much I love him. And he's worthy of all our praise. Amen. So I just want to shout like I'm sitting there, man, I don't want to like be sort of ugly and, you know, because I don't know the guys with the music and that, and I don't want to sort of like totally cut across what you're doing, but man, I just want to praise. I'm just sitting there, man, I just love launching into praise, and I love the music, man. I've been here, been blessed by you guys so many times when I'm not sure if it was you, Peter, because I didn't know you then, but just your team where I've come to conferences and things, it's awesome. So man, I love praising God and those songs. I just love to praise God. Proclamation. So make the scriptures personal. So say what the scripture says about you. So say, I am the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there's the scriptures we can take and put in our mouth, and it's powerful. And it goes out into the spirit realm and transforms. So thanking God is important. It's a sacrifice sometimes, but it's making a difference. Man, the times you just thank God when you least feel like it. And you start the engine running. You start your prayer engine running by starting to give thanks. Oh, God, thank you for this day. Even if you're feeling really bad, just start with a thanksgiving that you have. Something to be thankful for. Get your motor running. Then you go into praise, and then you launch off into worship and into prayer. So, yeah, just encourage you there. Worship's so important. Actions of faith, so sometimes it's just breaking the inertia. So sometimes if you're feeling like you're not good at connecting with people, go up and say hello. Go up and say, be friendly. So with your neighbour, what can you do? Man, what do you have in your house? You know, can you bake a cake? Well, there's a family next door that need that. They need a bit of love, and you don't know how to go and approach them. Just make a cake and just say, look, I've got some extra batter. I just made a cake. I thought you guys might like it. Something like that, just to break the ice. And it might be when you least feel like it, and God prompts you. But, you know, do that. I just encourage you to do that, because it's powerful. Preaching's important. Giving as well. So sometimes giving, because there's that stinginess we sometimes feel, or we sometimes, if we're feeling a bit like, we want to make ourselves safe, and we feel a bit scared, like stuff that's happening that's a bit scary, and we want to hunker down, we want to grab every little thing, we want to be a certain way, but God says to give. Give and it shall be given to you. So you can break that inertia, you can break that pressure by giving, deciding to give. And my wife demonstrated that to me yesterday as well. So that's good. So we all feel like that, and I know giving is such a powerful thing. And we're givers. We give. And yeah, I just encourage you to do the same. Conclusion. So in conclusion, commit and trust. So God wants our full commitment. He wants our whole heart. He wants us to entrust him because he's trustworthy. And I think the more we do that and we let go of what we've got, then God proves himself and we can trust him more. And it's a process of trust. We grow in our trust with God, and we can trust him. So yield. So yield to God's dealings. So if he's challenging you in your mindset, just hang in there, stay in there, talk to people about what's going on, and don't give up, but just hang in there, keep in your word, keep praying, and watch what God will do. Resist the devil. So submit to God, resist the devil, and he will. Yeah, amen. So we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. We seek God because he's the object of our affection. He's the one we seek. Yeah, amen. Because he's a person, he loves you, he just wants to connect with us all. Amen. And the last one is just be deliberate, be prepared. So I didn't have a lot of time. I kind of skipped forward out of that. But just be deliberate. Set your mind up how you're going to approach the situation. Soak yourself in the Word of God. Get your mind organized so that you know how to respond. So you know how to love when you're receiving hatred. So you know how to talk to that person at work. How you know how to deal with that situation. So before that comes, don't just sort of rock up and see what's going to happen, but just prepare yourself and help and ask God to help you prepare your mind for action. Amen. So God bless you. Thanks so much. I've loved speaking to you guys, and I just trust you're blessed. And I'm going to hand the meeting over to Pastor Gina. Thank you.